Blog Talk Radio.
Show. My name is Ed Molina. My partner, as usual, Fuzzy Biscuit. And you goddamn right, we are not your kind. We are the black and gold NXT kind. That was Slipknot. The intro for the NXT theme song back in 2019. Obviously, I'm a maggot, so you knew I was going to pick that. But I picked that not because of Slipknot. I picked that because we're about to see the return, in my opinion, I'ma say it, the best era of wrestling. I said it. People want to see the return of the Attitude Era. Yeah, I want the Attitude Era back. Man, screw that. We're getting the return of the Black and Gold. Black and Gold 2.0. All thanks. All bow to the game. All hail the king. King Triple H. Because I have not been this excited about WWE as a product in about a decade. And all because Vince McMahon is no longer holding the book, and I'm already seeing vast improvement. I'm going to let you start off as far as those improvements. I'm going to ask, let's kick it off like this. Obviously, I'm excited, so I see differences in the booking already. But what about you? Do you see differences in the booking? Like, how do you feel about it? Obviously, I feel like you're so excited. You need to complain. I played Slipknot. That's how excited you are.
You know, I'm not going to complain, but honestly, I never knew that was Slipknot.
You serious?
I mean, I don't know what Slipknot sounds like to like recognize Slipknot.
Okay, fair enough. But because I know how much you detest Slipknot. That's fair to say.
I don't detest them. I just think they're corny.
That's fair enough.
But that's neither here nor there.
That's irrelevant to all this right now.
Right. I mean, yes, you obviously see a more... the booking is just better. I don't even know how to say it, but like, let's go back. Like, we can each pat ourselves on the back, because the people that we both said we wanted are who ended up as the new regime. You know, so, and it looks, and it's early on, it's looking like, you know, we knew what we were talking about. It happens here and there. So this might be one of them. But it was, I mean, first Raw, I think it's first Raw, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, so first Raw.
I guess you could say, let me put it like this. First Raw that he fully booked. The MSG Raw that I was at, and I can talk to it on that from the live experience. The MSG Raw, it's the week that he got control of the book. SummerSlam, there were things in the script that they were going to keep finish off, or things that they were going to reboot and recycle, like we saw with Riddle and Seth Rollins. But this was the first Raw. I guess you could say this is his first Raw that it was completely in his hand.
Just his.
I think that's
yeah,
fair.
Because I heard I think he came on right before Raw, and they were saying the Raw is going to be how Vince had Raw, and even SummerSlam, don't expect like a whole lot different, but, you know, because SummerSlam is pretty much like Vince has his foot on most of it. But I think this was, like you said, the first one that he had full control. I mean, so starting out with Bianca, which, you know, I think as far as like non-gimmick match, I think Bianca Becky was probably match of the night.
Okay.
In my opinion. because, I mean, you know, the obviously we'll get to it, but the main event, and you know what I mean? Anyway.
Right. Well, let's start.
Starting with that. The whole Becky, the, like, Becky send-off, Becky, like, turning face all the way before getting sent off, and then, you know what I'm saying, like, Bianca getting more involved in the feud with, you know, Bayley and company. So, and then to me also the – and you know I'm not a triple threat match guy. You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
I liked the triple threat mini tournament to fight one-on-one for a chance to go at Lashley. I like that. And I like that Ciampa won.
If that doesn't tell you that this is a new era of NXT, I'm sorry, did I say NXT? I meant WWE, that putting Ciampa, yo, it's not just Ciampa winning. It's how he won. Yo, AJ Styles put over Ciampa. That would never happen under McMahon. Ever. Ciampa is not a wrestler that is in the mold of the McMahon view. Ciampa
is Can we pause for a second real quick while we're talking about this and give AJ Styles his roses for being one of the best at putting people over?
Yes.
Selling moves, etc. Like, he's so much better than he gets credit for.
Bro, who hasn't he helped put over and launch careers? Look, part of the reason he helped put over Kenny Omega. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He helped put over Shinsuke to an American audience with his feud in New Japan. He helped put over Samoa Joe at Impact, you know. He was an utter loyal company man for Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter, putting over whoever they wanted, whatever bum they wanted, even non-bums, whatever, for whatever they wanted. He's just an utter professional who put people over as ass. And he's been rewarded for it handsomely in his defense. But you're absolutely correct about that. I know people like don't like his politics or whatever, but as far as him in the ring, is what he does in the ring, he is an utter and consummate professional. I've never heard a story of him complaining about putting somebody over. And if he ever did complain, that person probably didn't deserve to be put over. But that's just me. Anyway,
and you never hear of any locker room issues.
Yeah. But
I
anyway.
Just that's all.
So,
I felt like, especially watching Raw, I was like, you know what? AJ is like exactly what you were talking about. He's superb at that. And I think in general, wrestlers who are good at that don't get credit for that.
Because, like, to the common layman, they're looking at him as like AJ taking an L. And, you know, for us, wrestling fans have been watching this for a long time. We understand that this is a ballet. It takes two to tango. You know, this is like flamenco or salsa. If your dance partner stinks, you're going to stink with them. And so AJ fully understands that. And that's the thing. I've always loved wrestlers that look good in defeat. Going back to Becky Lynch, there's a good example. She helped. I know people were mad she lost the title, but after watching the end of this program, she helped put Bianca Belair at a different stratosphere than she was when she first started out. And I know people were mad, like, I can't believe she lost in 36 seconds. And we always kept saying, let's see how it peters out. From what I understand, though, her going back to being the man, her going face again, that was a Triple H call. Vince had no intention of ever having. He liked Big Time Bet. And I understand that.
She's a better face.
Sorry, go ahead. I agree.
I'm just saying but as a kind of like asterisk, as a like stone cold face.
Agreed.
Like a
agreed.
Face.
And the thing
a face that doesn't act like a face. Like,
I wasn't,
I mean, you know, Becky Lynch, you were on Becky Lynch way before me, but like,
yeah, since NXT,
Becky
since
Lynch
NXT
went,
Black
like
and Gold,
our
baby.
First WrestleMania when we went to New Orleans, you know what I mean? That was her quintessential victory, I think.
Yep. And the thing is, Vince had no intention. I felt it was kind of forced, this David Bowie Conor McGregor thing she was trying to do. I understand she was trying to tap into that kind of Conor McGregor, Paddy Pimbleton kind of, you know, braggadocious UK, Irish, you know, whatever, you know, trash talker. And it was okay.
Ooh, be careful, We have a lot of European fans. Ireland is not the UK. Northern Ireland is.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Sorry, Ireland.
You're absolutely right.
Sorry.
My bad, Ireland. Sorry, Ireland. I don't want to get into any Irish mess over there. I mean, they throw bombs out there. So yeah, I'm just let me fall back a little bit.
Now, just stop. No more Ireland talk for you.
All I'm saying is that she was doing that kind of Conor McGregor thing, tapping into that without the racism, and it was okay for her. I mean, I guess for Conor, it just comes natural to be an asshole, but it was okay for her. It worked, you know. In a lot of ways, it kind of felt like she was dressing up. Her and Seth were having fun, kind of being dressed up, you know, playing dress up and whatnot. And I felt like that was part of the fun for her. But I like this Becky Lynch better. I like the man. I miss the man. That's the Becky Lynch that to me, it's like, that's the one that like, I was like, I've been waiting. That's the one I've been waiting to see for a while. And I'm glad that she's back. That said, I agree. I love everything about that match. I still haven't thought what match of the night is. I think as we get closer to it, I think I know what it is. But to me, what made me pop was the return of what they're calling control. Bailey, ding dong. Dakota Kai, who I've been a fan of, again, NXT Black and Gold. I like the work that she did. I like the work that she did when she turned on Tegan Knox. I like the work that she did as a tag team with Raquel Martinez is what they're calling her now. And you know how I feel about Io Sky. I am – so two out of those three, because I don't know – I met Dakota Kai through NXT, but two out of those three – I've been day one fans with EO. Well, I can't say day one with EO because I don't watch Stardom, but I've been, as far as an American audience, I've been day one with her. I've been day one with Bayley since, you know, since when? Like, since the Four Horsewomen, like NXT, when NXT wasn't even popping. So, to me,
yeah,
seeing them come out together, I was marking the fuck out. Like, I was like, yo, Bianca needed new blood to wrestle. They've kind of had been recycling the same people. There's only so I would have thought maybe Asuka would have been next. I can live with this. I can absolutely live with
this.
No,
but let me tell you,
and I think
you talk about good booking. I like the first thing I thought when that came back was like, or when they came out after Bianca beat Becky, the first thing I thought was, holy shit, a Bianca Io Shirai match. Yes, I said Io Shirai. A Bianca Io Shirai match would be that the ceiling is so high. And we got it on Raw.
Yeah.
And like I said offline, I love the ending because Io, she gave Bianca hell. Bianca looked strong too. They both looked strong and there was no definitive winner. I like that. That puts up Io Shirai and Bianca also didn't have to lose, didn't have to, you know, like, it was a great match. I want to see when Io is more established and Bianca gets a shot at Bianca and they just go. I think I want that, but I think it was a good introduction for Io.
I will say about Io, friends of the show, Bonnie noted that Io looked rusty, but that just goes to show the standard, the high standard that Io Sky, I'm going to call it Io Sky. I like the name. I actually do like the name. Io Sky, like, you know, that's just the standard that she set that you're like, if that was sloppy, like, wait till she gets on her A game. Because, like, we've seen her on her A game. And, you know, she... I don't want to say her style's like that, but she's a lot like Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin in the sense of, like, when you see her in certain matches, you're like, please don't die. Like, yeah, pull up that spot. Please don't die. You know what I mean? Like, she's that risk taker, and I love that about her. And again, Bailey, as much as I love Champion Hugger, and I love her as a face, I usually don't go for that positive role model type, but I thought it was a beautiful thing how little girls and young women gravitated towards her and the whole champion hugger thing. But as good as that gimmick was, I love this heel Bayley move of, you know, of
heel
of
you know,
Bayley.
Listen, you know, I love heel Bayley. I can't claim to have the deep roots like you do with Bayley, but I like heel Bayley.
Yeah.
I missed the heel Bayley and heel Sasha. What were they calling them?
Oh, I forgot what they were
calling.
They
both had belts.
The Boston Hug Connection, or the Hug and yeah,
no,
the Boston Hug Connection.
After that, when they were both heels, Boston Hug Connection, they were.
That's when they were facing. I forgot what they were calling themselves.
But
again,
I love
that.
I love that Bayley and Sasha.
I think
there's a good shot we get that back soon.
I don't know about with Sasha, because that actually leads me to, again, that, you know, in hashtag in, you know, Triple H will fix it, hashtag in Hunter we trust, he's going to bring back Sasha Banks and Naomi. Part of me is a little disappointed because in my head, I had already imagined Sasha Banks winning the IWGP, the inaugural IWGP women's title in my head. But I like that tag team of Sasha and Naomi. And I hate fantasy booking. I'm not very good booker, but the way I would have them back, I would have them come back with the tag team titles as heel, and just I think there's enough talent right there in the roster right now to have a vibrant women's tag team division. It's obvious that Hunter and Stephanie McMahon want to put emphasis on the women's division, and obviously they have a much different view of what the women's division should be compared to Vince McMahon's vision, which is the vision
for sure.
Of a 70-year-old white man, you know.
But I'll say, like, I'm with you 50%. Coming back as heels, yes. But this is what I want to see. Like, I mean, I like the Naomi Sasha tag team, but I would prefer Sasha gets back with Bayley. And who was I talking? Like,
Naomi.
Oh,
Sasha
and
Naomi. You want Sasha with?
My bad.
Yeah. I think I know where you're going to go.
So Sasha
with Naomi.
Goes back. They don't come back together. Sasha gets back up with Bayley, and then Naomi goes bloodline.
I figured everyone wants to see that. I think we'll get there if she comes back. I think we'll
bloodline needs a woman wrestler, and Naomi, especially Naomi turning heel. I'm interested to see that.
God, it's just such an exciting time with Vince gone.
Yeah, because think about it. Naomi, you can't question her in-ring abilities, but she's only been a face. She hasn't really gotten over, like, at any point. Like, honestly, probably
she's
the
a former
most
champion.
Over, not when she was at her best, but the most over was probably as a Funkadactyl.
And people forget, yo, she was a champion. She's been a women's champion. I want to say SmackDown, and people forget that's how unfortunately unmemorable it was. And I hate saying that because she's talented. I thought this tag team was exactly the boost that she needed, and I think that's why she walked out with Sasha, because she knew this was
heel
a big
turn.
Money opportunity for her. Yeah, this was a big money opportunity.
I think she needs
really,
a heel turn more.
I think they both come back as a heel, and they reinstate them as tag team champions. I'm telling you, and I want them to bring back the tag team championship. There's plenty of talent. There's plenty of TV shows for the title to be defended. If it were up to me, I would contract the NXT Women's title and have them defend on NXT as well. That's just me. But yeah,
Let me say something real quick before I forget.
Yes.
Because the recurring theme, before I forget, we're talking about Triple H, the booking, it feels better. My little anecdote. SummerSlam, realized SummerSlam used to be like my favorite pay-per-view of the year. For several years, I was like, SummerSlam is better than WrestleMania every year. For like the last 5 years, I've been wildly disappointed with SummerSlam. This year, like, I'm back excited. I felt like it was SummerSlam. I was like, okay, SummerSlam is back. Like, it's a show.
Yeah, no, it's listen.
You gotta tip your hat to Triple H. Who else could it be?
As I was telling you off the grid, I've had a pretty sick 3-week run between the G1 opening weekend, between Death Before Dishonor, and again, I didn't think much of this SummerSlam pay per view on paper. There were certain matches like, yeah, I'll watch, I'm interested. And if anything, I was kind of pissed off that it was going on at the same time as the UFC card. Yo, I don't know if this is Vince doing. I don't know if this is Vince doing or Dana White, but they need to stop fucking holding pay-per-views at the same time. This is killing me. This is absolutely killing me. Anyway, I digress. On paper, it looked like an okay pay-per-view. Bobby Lashley versus Theory was fun. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I'm a Logan Paul fan. This kid's a natural.
I don't know if you saw my text when I texted you.
Yeah, no, I did.
I texted
you're
you
not the only
Logan
person
Paul.
Texting
did you
me
see
that.
It?
Yes.
I'm like the last you're person not... I would ever expect to like is Logan Paul. But like
you're not the only person
here's
telling
the thing.
Me.
But did you hear like Logan Paul outside the ring? So Logan Paul, obviously, like, do we need to say anything beyond the frog splash through the table?
No.
I mean,
no.
WrestleMania.
He looked
and
great
then
in WrestleMania.
Beyond the frog splash, like, he can go, and he's a beginner. But the thing is, He respects the craft, though. Like, I see, like, him talking about wrestling because you know that he has like a whole contract now. Like he's going to be super part-time, but he might do like a couple pay-per-views a year and a couple like Raw appearances. He like really wants to like get into wrestling and he respects the craft. So I don't see the ego that I expected.
I don't see the ego that I expected from a guy that is all about ego. Talking about his boxing record, and I went toe-to-toe with Mike Tyson in a quote-unquote exhibition match. You know what I'm saying? I was expecting someone that was going to be aloof and just there for the clicks and the paycheck. I expected him to not take it seriously. And I got to say, yo, the guy is impressive. He is super impressive, and it looks like he's taking it seriously. He sounds like he's taking it seriously. He needs to work a little bit on his mic skills, but he's already a natural trash talker from trying to sell his fight, you know, being on the boxing end of things. So he understands the importance of throwing a promo and promoting yourself and promoting a fight. And so he came in with a sense of humility I didn't think the kid had. I'm gonna be honest with you, and I think it's dope. I'll give it a chance until he annoys me, or says something dumb.
No, I agreed. I'm with it. I like it.
He can go. You know, I was disappointed in
no,
Luke Rusty,
for real.
Though.
We've seen it with Bad Bunny and Logan Paul, and then this is a great segue if we're sticking to the theme of. Being wrong about somebody. Listen, my man Pat McAfee, pay homage.
I was about to say.
Talk about day one.
What I was going to say about Pat McAfee, you're not going to like. But I was going to say is I was wrong about him, and he's proven to be a solid wrestler, which is why I was disappointed with his performance at SummerSlam. That was a sloppy Panama Sunrise. That just for me, and he looked rusty. He looked rusty to me. I don't know why. That Panama Sunrise.
Was the bar still high from WrestleMania?
The bar was high from, like, since War Games.
Because it wasn't WrestleMania. It wasn't his WrestleMania match. But
by the way,
I don't understand if you don't say he wasn't somewhat impressive. Like, you know, he's not perfect. He's pretty much a beginner too, if you look at it. It wasn't WrestleMania, but like I didn't expect it to be WrestleMania. Like if it didn't reach that level, I'm okay with that. He's still to me, for a person who essentially is not a wrestler or a rookie wrestler, however you want to look at it, I still think he is very impressive.
I think who impressed me was Baron Corbin bailing him out on that Panama Sunrise, making it work, because it was sloppy. And what I'm saying is the match looks sloppy. And what I'm saying is, yes, the bar is so high, and I'm not even talking of the bar to me wasn't WrestleMania. The bar to me was War Games before. It wasn't even his second match. His second match with Adam Cole was spectacular. Spectacular. I think that's been his best work so far, better than Mania. And so, and again, he's in there with a consummate professional like Adam Cole. Like Adam Cole just, again, it takes two to tango. That's not a knock on McAfee. I think maybe Baron Corbin was maybe too big of a guy to try to do the Panama Sunrise. Whereas Adam Cole's obviously a much smaller dude. Maybe that's what it was. I notch it off as a bad day at the office. We all have bad days in the office. I'm sure you have one day where you're like, man, I got that equation wrong in the middle of class. You know what I mean? Like
Never.
Never. I'm sorry, Mr.
But I don't do
Matt
equations.
Cardona,
I do
always
science.
Ready. Oh, I'm
I do
sorry.
Science. Equations are so closed-minded. I do science. We explore. We think.
My bad, Socrates. My bad. I'm not trying to diss. But you know what I'm saying. There's, you know, people have a bad day in the office in every profession, and I just notch it to McAfee having. Look, it's the law. It's the law. Averages. You know, you shoot your shot so many times, not every shot's going to go in. It wasn't a bad match. I'm just saying, all I can remember was that sloppy Panama Sunrise, and what impressed me about it was like, yo, Baron Corbin not only helped him very, 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 very helpful in making it happen, but sold the shit out of it. And that, again, we were talking about AJ being a consummate professional. Yo, Baron Corbin, and I understand the fans don't like him, but in that locker room, he's considered a consummate professional. I remember how he, Riddick Moss landed on his head that match in Saudi Arabia. Who was the guy that checked in on him, got him out of the ring to make sure that he was okay, bought the kid time to make sure that he was okay or if he needed to go to the bat? That was Baron Corbin. I don't think he gets
Corbin
enough
is,
credit.
Yeah.
You were talking
he's
about guys.
Grown. He's definitely grown on me. But, again, I think it's the tweaking of the – because, I mean, let's face it, he was just kind of like a corny metal dude. Or something, like, when he came out. Like, the type of guy who would listen to Slipknot. You know what I mean?
Hey! That's my favorite metal band there.
But anyway,
and he probably does
I mean, yeah,
to Slipknot.
He grows on me, but I think it is his switch in attitude. And I like the happy Corbin going from, like, down bottom and, you know, having nothing, and then he just wins in the casino. Now he's happy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think obviously he's very talented and they just had it because you know I'm a mic guy. You know I'm a mic skills guy.
Yeah.
Like you could be the best wrestler
yeah.
in the world. If you can't cut a good promo, I'm probably not fucking with you. So
Corbin
I mean,
can cut a good promo.
That's what I'm
Corbin's
saying.
Good on
now
a mic.
He can.
Yeah.
But like I didn't want to
yeah.
listen to him before. As like happy Corbin, like I'm like, yeah. But I didn't want
I
to
didn't.
Before. It's again, a good heel turn goes a long way.
I did like King Corbin. I'm not going to lie.
He was a heel.
I like King Corbin. That was kind
but
of fun.
He had the personality. Like, I don't know, but here's
I like
what
down
I
on his luck,
to
Corbin,
you.
Too. Yes.
Who?
I like, remember when he was down, before he became Happy Corbin, when he was broke-ass Corbin? I love that
Yeah,
Corbin.
That's what I was saying, when he was, like, down
yeah,
in
yeah.
the gutter.
Yeah.
But this is what I've been, switching gears. I meant to ask you this, like, maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know if it's been that long. We didn't get to get into it, but speaking of somebody you're day one with, if I remember correctly, you were a day one with Taz.
Taz, absolutely.
So, like, the FTW belt, all that, his son now
yeah.
holds the FTW belt. And
I'm happy.
The way it played out, and I think it also, like, even though Ricky Starks dropped the belt, I think it kind of, like, keeps Ricky Starks in the spotlight and in the running. But I thought that Hook getting that FTW belt was, I don't know. I feel like that's a big move. I feel like they had to do something with Hook, and this is a great start.
I'll tell you what. I think what made that whole thing, what kept Ricky Starks strong with that.
Is hooking up with Danhausen.
What made that shit cool with Ricky Starks is that promo that he threw after he lost, where he was talking about, it was honest from the heart, Ricky Starks. Like that promo that he threw that first night that he, before he signed his contract with AEW, when Cody Rhodes was doing the Cody Rhodes challenge, you know, the TNT title challenge. You know, he threw this promo about this is my last shot. I've been wanting to be in the big league. Like, he threw a very, very emotional promo. You're always talking about guys on the stage.
Well, they had to make Starks likable so that when Hobbs turned on him, you know, it was a bigger betrayal because people were like, oh, Starks is coming around, and now his boy turns on him. It's setting the tone.
That promo that he threw and that heartfelt promo that he threw about, you know, the belt doesn't make the champion makes the belt, I agree with him because we've seen situations where we were just talking about Naomi where it's like, she was SmackDown champion and we don't remember. Like, people forget. And Ricky Starks added some sort of value to a title that means nothing. The title means nothing. Now, that said, that title means more to Hook because that's family. That's like a family heirloom. As what's his face? As they were pointing out, the commentary team was pointing out in AEW, Excalibur, sorry. I almost call him El Phantasmo. I don't know why. As Excalibur, totally different guy. As Excalibur pointed out, you know, that kid grew up looking at that belt from his dad's mantle. You know what I mean? Like, he grew up watching his dad defend that belt. And people forget, yo, Taz made that belt up out of nowhere because he wouldn't get a title shot. He didn't have the TV title.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam had that sick run as a TV champ. One of the greatest runs, by the way, I've seen on any championship. To a point where at one point he was headlining shows over the championship. You know, and Shane Douglas held on to that title for a long, long time, both, you know, with the triple threat and different incarnations of the triple threat, that Taz was like, well, you know what? Fuck that. Fuck the world. I'm going to make the Fuck the World Championship. The F the World Championship. FTW belt. And so I think Hook having it means more because of the family connection. And Starks did a respectable job. You know, this isn't a belt with a lot of lineage. It's like Starks had it. Taz had it, Hook had it, Brian Cage had it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think who else might have held it. Sabu, I don't know who else. Maybe Rob Van Dam, I don't know.
Maybe like one other person. It's very few people.
Yeah. And so I think more as a, you're right, this gives Hook something to do. It gives him something to do, and I'm okay with that. For sentimental reasons,
he needed something because they just, I mean, they were going nowhere with him. He needs some angle, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And it started off with linking him with Danhausen. He was over, and then you put him with a guy who's over in a whole different way, and then he's over more with more people. And then now he has a belt, even if it's a shit belt. It's his dad's belt. You know what I mean? Like, and then now
yeah,
from here, like, this is not the ending. That's not the be-all, the end-all. This is the first step.
No, of course not.
But this is the first step. He had no first step until this.
That's fair. I think that's fair to say.
I mean, he was just beating up your favorite wrestler.
You know, in a lot of ways, you got to think about it. He's still in developmental. Like, he's still learning the craft.
Right. And so, you can hold the FTW belt and still be learning the craft.
Agreed. That's very much agreed.
Yeah.
But going back to Mania, the other match that fascinated me was Usos versus Street Profits.
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, sorry. What did
you said
I say?
Mania. Mania.
Oh, did I? Sorry, my bad. Oh, what the hell? I got too many potholes in my brain. SummerSlam.
You dissed Ireland, now you mixed up Mania with SummerSlam.
Potholes in my brain. I've been confusing names lately, yo. I really should check my brain, man.
How much elderberry hard tonic have you been drinking?
Real, I've been getting names wrong. Like, what the? Like, simple names, too. Oh, anyway. Yeah, I'm going to have to get my brain checked out. Usos versus Street Profits. We had a disagreement about this over offline. They've been slowly building
not about
this
the match.
Up, even when... Well, not about the match, but...
We didn't disagree about the
match. They've been slowly... They're slowly dropping hints of the inevitable breakup between DeAndre Dawkins and Montez Ford. I think they're going to end up calling him Tez Ford because they keep calling him Tez. And you see the breakup starting to bubble up to the surface. First, in the frustration of Montez Ford after he took the pin in the title match against the Usos with Jeff Jarrett as special guest referee. And what I thought was a heel move this Monday by just grabbing the ref and dissing his boy to go wrestle Seth Rollins. I think we're here. It's that time to pull the trigger. It's time to do it. It's time to march.
I mean, like
Eddie,
I was saying offline, obviously we're here. With emphasis on
that's
obviously.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. But like I said, I emphasized obviously. I was just like, okay, we get it. For that entire match, I was like, we get it. They're about to break up. Like, it was just a bit, it was a bit much for me. Because I was just like, all right, got it. Can you just, I don't know. You obviously feel different.
Yeah, because they've been building up to this, dropping the hints in the commentary now for the past 2 months. And this is different than what they're doing with Swerve and Keith Lee. In that, what they're doing with Keith Lee and Swerve is that tension is always going to be there between them because the comparison that they want to make is that this is Shaq and Kobe. And we all know that relationship between Shaq and Kobe was very tenuous, where they were both so supremely talented. And when it clicked, and when it didn't, it didn't. And Swerve and Keith Lee are superstars in their own right, in the indie scene, that it works, Shaq and Kobe. This is not the case with the Street Profits. This is Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. I hate saying it that way, but it is. Now, I think they're using the formula. Here, you disagree with me, where I see the long burn, and I think they're kind of doing it the way they did it with DIY between Ciampa and Gargano. But I'll let you bring up the point that you brought up offline on here, because you could say it better than I could, why you don't think this is like Gargano and Ciampa.
I mean, so I believe what I was expressing was not the same – because Gargano and Ciampa were equals. You like to call Dawkins Marty Jannetty.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair. I would almost say not necessarily even up to the Marty Jannetty level.
Wow.
So my point was where, you know, Ciampa, Gargano, they break up, their storylines, they come back and whatever, and they're both, well, you know, Gargano stepped away for a little bit, but if he comes back, he'll be right back.
Yeah.
And once Dawkins is done with the initial feud with Montez Ford, like, where does he go? I don't see any other direction. I don't see him sticking around much because I don't see any interest in him wrestling anybody except Montez Ford.
And stick him in a tag team with Cedric Alexander or Ricochet.
Really?
Oh, man. If anyone benefits from Triple H being back, good Lord, it's Ricochet. Man, does he need this.
Right.
But,
nowhere to go but up for Ricochet.
Yo, it is amazing to me. Will Ospreay is having the career Ricochet thought he was going to have in WWE when he signed with WWE. Because Ospreay's at another level, main eventing Tokyo Dome, and Ricochet is not. He's not. He's main eventing main event. I'm just saying. If anyone benefits, I digress. I mean, that sounded kind of racist, I guess. I should apologize, teaming up.
First Ireland, now this.
But it's not like Cedric's doing anything. He could use the rub. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, you don't know if Cedric's doing anything. That's my point exactly. You're not going to know if Angelo Dawkins is either.
You know, main event needs wrestlers too. But yeah,
I think it's over for Dawkins.
Yeah, we're at that point. We're at the point. We're at that point. It's time to pull the trigger. It really is. The guy keeps impressing Montez Ford, and you know, he's got that it factor that you can't teach. You know, I don't know. I think it's time to pull the trigger on that. We are running out of time. Got about 2 minutes left. Any thoughts on? All I'm going to say about Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey is I'm glad they kept the title on Liv Morgan. Let her have a little bit more of a run. I know you have your doubts about her considering how stacked right now the women's division seems to be. But Ronda Rousey needed this heel turn. This is more who she is. This is who she was at the UFC when she was throwing promos. She is a heel. She is both a women's icon in sports, but she is a heel. Both can be true. Let's go with that. And I'm curious how this is going to – I'd like to see her team up with Shayna Baszler at some point, maybe win the women's tag team title. But I'm glad they finally pulled the trigger on Ronda Hill's turn.
I mean, she's not likable. So, you know, get in where you fit in. Get it how you
I
live.
I love Ronda.
However you want to put
up
it.
Up until she was a sore loser with the Holly Holmes thing and Amanda Nunes, talk about day one. You know I was Ronda Rousey fan when she was 4-0 against Julia Budd fighting at Strikeforce. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Yeah.
You're right, though. You're right. She's a better heel than she is a face. It's just more her comfort zone. And I'm glad they pulled the trigger on that. It's what's best for business, and I know Triple H will know what to do with that because hashtag in Hunter we trust, hashtag Triple H will fix it. Main event, really quick because we're running out of time, Roman Reigns versus Paul Heyman. Wow, tired holding my brain. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Might as well have been Paul Heyman. That was crazy. I ain't never seen anything like that. And it was dope. And I like that it was so unexpected. That was also very dangerous. But everyone came out unscathed, and I thought it was dope. I've never seen anything like that before.
No. I mean, it was it the greatest match ever? No, but it was a great match beyond, like, not a crane, whatever the damn backhoe, whatever it is, lifting up the ring, good spin.
It
was a good match. And, like, it was something we haven't seen. You know what I mean? And it was semi-extreme.
We're getting cut off.
All right.
Go ahead. Finish. No, finish.
No, it's a good introduction to the new Attitude Era, if that's where they're going.
The NXT Black and Gold F the Attitude Era. It's the return of the black and gold. I don't want to hear it. And on that note, we out. Peace.
Late.